David was already anointed to be king. King David, here's what happened. Saul sent messengers to Jesse, David's daddy, and said, "Send me your son David." This was David's moment. So they loaded a donkey with bread and wine, and David was on his way. He arrived at the palace and walked through those big golden doors. There was a marching band and dancers, streamers, and old school confetti. David put the crown on his head, sat on his new throne, and everyone said, "Hail King David!" And he lived happily ever after.
All right. I have a problem with this little happily ever after thing you've got going on. Actually, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from King Saul, and so King Saul's looking for a little bit of a hallelujah. And yes, David had been anointed to be king, and yes, they did invite him to the palace, but not to be king, not to rule. Now, you know, David has been having big dreams. He's gonna be king, he's gonna boss people around, he's finally stepping into his big purpose in life, yada, yada, yada. And so he gets to the palace and they tell him, well, King Saul is really just in a bit of a bad mood. And he was hoping you could tickle the harp strings, maybe cheer him up. David is essentially a mall piano player. The mall. Background. This giant slayer, anointed to be king, is working at the mall. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I love it when scripture can come alive. I love it when we can make it relevant to our everyday lives. I still believe the Word of God is fun, and it is still exciting as we read the Word of God in different ways. So let's give our scripture readers just an air high five today. And listen, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, my name is Javon Caldwell Gross, and I'm the guest experience and teaching pastor. And we are beginning week two of our sermon series entitled Off Script, The Blessing in the Unexpected. So would you just please pause with me and join me as we pray. And again, you don't even have to close your eyes, but this is just our way of praying for not only this sermon, but for the series. And it's just a simple prayer, just a simple prayer. And that is, Lord, we pray that nothing would go as planned, but everything would go according to your will. Amen. So listen, I know we have a very astute congregation and those deep thinkers out there who are watching. So I want to begin with a theologically heavy question today. And let's see if you can answer this. Let's see how deep you can really get. What do snow cones and sermons have in common? I'll give you time to think about that one. I will give you time. What do sermons and snow cones have in common? As you're thinking about the answer, let me tell you about my first job. Now, my kids get a kick out of this every time I talk about my first job. I'm hoping you'll do the same. Now, this was my first real job, first job that paid, first job that I had to write a resume for, get a cover letter, go on an interview, first job that actually took taxes out of my paycheck, right? Now, my first job was at the Detroit Zoo. Soon as I was old enough to work, my parents said, you have to work somewhere, right? It was fun, it was a hot job, in the middle of the summer, absolutely enjoyed it. Now, I already know what you're thinking. No, I did not work with the animals, but I did work in concessions. Now, every employee will go through about a 2-week period where they will place you at the busiest, hottest concession stand in the middle of the zoo because they figured if you could make it at this place, then you can make it anywhere in the zoo. So I made it after my 2 weeks of making greasy food in the hot concession stand in the middle of the summer, in the middle of the zoo, and they assigned me to a small station that sold snow cones. Now, if you would have told me over 20 years ago that I would be in Indianapolis preaching sermons at St. Luke's United Methodist Church, it would have seemed absolutely impossible because it's hard to see what snow cones have to do with sermons. So let me ask those of you who are watching, and you can type the answers in the chat, or you can write them down, or just discuss them with those who are watching with you. But I want you to think about this question. What was your first job? First job that paid you, you got the resume for, that took taxes out, right? What was your first job? Go ahead, type it in the chat, write it down, talk about it with those who are watching. And as you are writing it, as you're writing your first job, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about where you started, and then where you are now. Take a look at it. Take a look at where you started, and then take a look at where you are now. Did you ever think that you would end up where you are now, considering where you started? That's a great question as we talk about David's life, because as most of us agreed on last week, that our life often goes off script. And I would say that David's life would probably mirror the same thing, because his life goes off script the moment that he was anointed king at a young age. Remember, David is outside herding sheep, and he gets called into the house. And if David was anything like me, the only time you ever got called into the house was when you did something wrong or when there were chores to be done. But David is outside minding his own business, and a prophet stops by and anoints him to be the next king of Israel. And as we pointed out on last week, there are moments when life just goes off script. And for David, this is when his life starts to go off script. He didn't plan for this, didn't ask for it, he didn't pray for it. And yet that moment when he gets anointed to be king, I mean, this is not the way he had things planned. And most of us would agree that yes, life goes off script, right? We got that. I think that we are all in agreement with that. But when life goes off script, then what? Right? What happens when life goes off script? What do you do when life takes us on a turn that we didn't expect? Right? Now that we found ourselves in a city that we never planned, now what? Now that the course of our lives have changed, then what? What do you do when life goes off script? We all agree that it does. But what do you do when life goes off script? If you remember, David has been anointed king, and some time has passed, and then David gets called to go to the palace. His life has already gone off script. He's anointed to be king, and now he's been summoned. He's been summoned to go to the palace. After all, he's been anointed. It's his time. It's a little early, but it's his time, because why else would they be summoning him? He didn't ask to go to the palace, but now they are after David, right? He gets his things together. He packs his bag. He is ready to learn. He is ready to begin his training as king. After all, he's been anointed. He's been chosen. He's been set apart. And now they are coming after David, because after all, he's been anointed. And can you imagine the excitement that David must have felt as they put him in the chariot and they rode him to the king's palace and they rolled out the red carpet for him? Because after all, he is anointed. Can you imagine how he must have felt as they gave him a tour of the king's court and they gave him a tour of the palace? Can you imagine what was going through his mind when they got to the king's court and David is ready? Because after all, David is anointed. Can you imagine what was going through his mind when they told David, now, take out your harp? I wonder what was going through David's mind when he had come all this way to be asked to play the harp. Now you see, there's a reason why David is summoned. Because the king at the time was being troubled by evil spirits, and their solution was finding someone that could play music in hopes that it would calm the king down. And apparently somebody heard David playing at a lounge somewhere. Now that's just my Caldwell Gross version. They heard David playing at a lounge somewhere and they told the king, listen, I heard this guy on the strings and he is a beast. He's a monster. He is all that. You got to come hear David play, because if we have to get anybody to help the king out, if we have to get anybody to play the strings, it's got to be David's son, right? Because it's not just that David was good, but out of everyone in the entire kingdom, they chose David to play the harp. But remember, he's a warrior. He's been anointed to be king. I did a mobile message on this a few weeks back, and I want to double back around on that theme that was highlighted then, because what seems like something is going off script might be God simply calling us to different things in different seasons of our lives. And this is just a simple fact. It's not an opinion, it's just a fact. Some of you watching can verify what I'm about to say. Some of you will verify that God will call you to different things at different points in your life. The biggest misconception that we make regarding God's call is that we will be called to one thing and one thing only, and we can only find joy, we can only find happiness, we can only live out God's call in one area of our lives, and that's why our faith is shook, that's why our faith is challenged, because we only learn how to do that one thing. But what if God is calling us? What if God calls us to different things at different points in our lives? Right? What if instead of searching for the meaning and purpose of our entire lives, what if we just ask God to help us find the meaning and purpose of this season? Instead of learning and trying to figure out what God is calling us to do for the rest of our lives, what if we just ask God to help us find purpose and meaning and playing the harp in this season? Because some seasons we're called to play the harp. In other seasons, we're called to lead. Some seasons we're called to be the visionaries. In other seasons, we're called to help someone live out their vision. Sometimes we're in a season where we are the helpers, and sometimes we're in a season where we are called to help and invest in ourselves. Some seasons we are the teachers, and other seasons we are the novice, right? Sometimes we are the stay-at-home parent, and at others we are the supervisor. Sometimes we are the sons and daughters, and at other times we are called to take care of aging parents. Let us debunk the myth today. Let us totally take the steam out of that lie that you are only called to do one thing, because throughout the course of our lives, throughout our journeys with God, God will call us to do many things, right? In fact, I want you to hear from someone that lives this out every day of our lives. Many of you know him as Chef Joseph, who is on staff here at our church. And you're going to be surprised of learning of how he brings his harp to work every day. Some of this might surprise you, but just take a look.
My ministry journey started actually in the womb, I assume, because my mother, I accuse her of birthing me at church. I know she didn't, but I can never remember not being in church. I was very active in the youth group, and that evolved into the pastor suggesting that I ought to be a minister. My whole history of pastoring has been a zigzag in my career. I'll be celebrating my 50th anniversary of my ordination in August. Have I ever considered being a chef at a church? Well, I'd be honest, no, it had never occurred to me that that would be an opportunity. And so every once in a while, because we were participants in very small churches, Dinah would say, let's have a music fix this Sunday and go to St. Luke's. So a couple years in August, we went, Dinah had that inspiration and she said, let's go to St. Luke's to hear the orchestra because that was one of her favorites. We got here not knowing the orchestra didn't play in the summertime, and so we were sitting there looking at the whiteboard announcements, and up comes a announcement they're looking for a chef for Wednesday night. Dinah punched me and said, hey, you ought to apply for that. And it's history. The neat thing about cooking, although it is still is an end product of serving people, is that food doesn't talk back. And so in the pastorate, there are a lot of frustrations, but in cooking, I can invest myself in the kitchen and the food does what I tell it to do. And that has been a wonderful way God has kept the best to last.
So maybe the question that David and Chef Joseph is really challenging us to answer is that not God, what are you calling me to do for the rest of my life? But God, what are you calling me to do today? Not what are you calling me to do for the next 20 and 30 years, but God, what are you calling me to do in this season? Because sometimes bringing my harp means I completely show up to honor the season that God has called me in today. It means truly honoring the blessing and the privilege to embrace the experience that God is calling me to do in the season that I am in, right? It is completely honoring that season. So you remember, you know now that David is one of those biblical characters that is somewhat well known, right? Regardless of how long you've been in church, sooner or later you have heard the name David, right? David is famous for being a king. He's known for writing the Psalms. He's known for defeating a giant by the name of, hopefully you got that right, by the name of Goliath. And he kills Goliath with what? He kills Goliath with a slingshot, right? The infamous battle between David and Goliath. Even the world of sports teams will use this narrative to describe when a really good team, a powerhouse, is facing an underdog, right? Because we know David as the warrior. We know David as the king. In fact, when we went on our honeymoon, and this is all coming full circle. It's all coming full circle now, and it's all, for some of you, it's all going to start to make sense. When we went on our honeymoon, my favorite place was Florence. And it just so happens that Florence was the place that the engagement ring was lost. So I remember Florence like it was yesterday. I remember the emotions. But one thing I do remember about Florence was when we went to see the David, the sculpture by Michelangelo. The artist depicted him before the battle, right? With that famous head turned to the side and veins popping out, and he's ready to face Goliath. And most artists, they show David after the battle or during the battle or before the battle, right? Even on the David, what David is holding in that sculpture is he's holding a sling, not strings. He's holding a sling. But watch this. David's story did not start with him defeating a giant. I mean, that's the way we often tell the narrative. David's story did not begin with him defeating a giant, but it started with him mastering the harp. Before David ever comes to the scene slaying giants, he was known for his gifts on the harp and playing the strings. But what we have totally redacted that out of David's story. It's like it never even happened. We have deemed that this is an insignificant part of David's story, so we leave it out. And what we do with David's story is what we do with ours. Because here's what some of our scripts look like. See, when life starts going off script, we just redact it. That's what we do. We just redact it. We didn't enjoy that season of our life? No problem. Redact it. We hated that job, hated waking up on Monday morning? No problem. Absolutely no problem. Redact it. College was a blur. We were a little bit awkward between those 4 and 5 years, so we just redacted, right? Definitely can't tell anybody about that. Redacted. Ashamed to even mention that out loud. Redacted. Didn't make a lot of money in that period of our lives. Redacted, right? Didn't think that we would be where we thought we would be at this point in our lives. Redacted. So now we just redact all of those things that we don't like, that don't make us look good, and all of those parts of our stories that we deem to be insignificant. No problem. We just take them out and redact them. And what ends up happening is when we meet other people, we give them the redacted version of ourselves. When we come to church, we give church the redacted version. Even sometimes when we approach God, we give God the redacted versions. But here's the catch. David doesn't use his sling unless he plays his strings. Because by the time David gets to the battlefield, he's already gained the king's trust. Because for days and weeks and months on end, he's been the one entrusted to help ease the anxieties and the worries of the king by playing his strings. By the time he volunteers to face the giant, he spent time building up relationships in such a way where people are placing their lives into his hands. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm merely saying that playing the harp was a necessary part of David's story. This was a significant part of David's story. While we might redact it, it was necessary for David. And you'd be surprised of the many things that we think are insignificant but are actually necessary and needed parts of our story. Which means, and I want you to write this down, which means that every season of your life is significant. And you don't get to decide. You don't get to judge. You don't get to evaluate what is insignificant and what is significant, whether it's planned or unplanned. Because if we truly believe in the sovereignty of God, then we can embrace every season, we can embrace every experience, we can embrace every tear, every sorrow, every joy, every circumstance. We can lean in and embrace it because with God, nothing is wasted. With God, there is nothing about your story that God can't use. The very thing that you want to redact is the very thing that God wants to use. The very thing that we don't think is an integral part of God's story is the very thing that God might use to either bless someone else or even to bless ourselves. God wants to use every part of your story. God wants to use every line, every word, every letter, every snow cone you've ever made, every meal you've ever made, right? Every note that David, every place God can and God will use. So even when you don't see the significance of the season, you've got to keep showing up and keep playing your harp. Because even though you don't understand it, God still wants to use it. Even when you don't see the significance of it, God still wants to use it. So you've got to keep showing up and you've got to keep playing your harp. Last week, we watched Hamilton for a family movie night. It was on Disney Plus. And by the way, I highly recommend the movie. Highly recommend it. We saw it. We saw it in person in downtown Indy. But we wanted to watch it with our kids. And again, it was great in person, but it was still phenomenal on the TV screen. And by far, one of my favorite characters was King George. By far. I mean, he was funny. He was witty and sarcastic. I mean, he was shimmying during the show. I mean, absolutely fantastic. And he has such a minor role, but it was brilliantly played. And he's only on screen for 8 minutes and only sings for 6 minutes, but his role is absolutely unforgettable. Now, the background of the story is even more interesting because King George is played by an actor by the name of Jonathan Groff. And in fact, the guy has quite a resume. He was the voice in Kristoff in the movie Frozen. He had a recurring role in the TV show on Glee. I mean, long story short, he is no stranger to the screen. He's had some very prominent roles. I mean, he can sing, he can act. I mean, he is the trifecta. And yet, in fact, there was someone else that was chosen to originally play King George, but after several months, he left to go to star in another show. So they called Jonathan Groff and they offered him to be a part of the show. Now, they didn't offer him a lead role, but to play a character that was only going to be on the screen for 8 minutes and only sing for 6 minutes. Now, he has more experience than most of the actors in the play, and he was good enough to play any role, but for 8 times a week and for 8 minutes a show that he was on stage, and for the 6 minutes that he was on stage singing, he decides to show up and bring his harp anyway, right? And for 8 minutes on stage and for 6 minutes of singing, 8 minutes on stage, 6 minutes of singing, and a few seconds of shimmying, right? He was nominated for the Tony Award for Best Featured Actor in a Musical and won a Grammy for Best Musical Theater Album. All that for showing up on stage for 8 minutes and only 6 minutes of singing. Why? Because sometimes even the small roles can be deemed significant if we see it that way, and that helps us to be all in with sometimes even the small roles, because sometimes some of us would rather play larger roles in our own script and not find the significance in sometimes the small roles in God's script. Every day he shows up willing to play his harp for 8 minutes on stage and for 6 minutes of singing. I imagine in some ways that's David's story. Every day he wakes up, he has to grab his harp and play for the king. He's anointed to be king and just as gifted as anyone else, but yet he sees significance. And I guess when you look at David's life, his path is unlike any other path to the throne. Because he's supposed to be king, but he's not. He's supposed to be sitting on the throne, but he's not. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, right? I'm supposed to be, but I'm not. I am supposed to be much further along in my faith, but I'm not. I'm supposed to have this all figured out by now, but I'm not. I'm supposed to be in a much better place, but I'm not. I'm supposed to be financially secure, but I'm not. We're supposed to have a solid marriage by now, but we don't. I'm supposed to know what I want to do for the rest of my life, but I don't. And yet, David is anointed to be king. He's in the palace playing the harp. And yet David was right where God needed him to be. Don't miss that. Write that down. David was right where God needed him to be. David learned how to be king from playing the harp. Can you imagine the lessons that David learned and the things that he saw while he was playing the harp? The lessons that God revealed to him, the exposure that God allowed him to have, the meetings that he sat in on. Can you imagine him sitting in on the meeting thinking, when I become king, this is how I'm going to do it? Can you imagine him looking out into the king's palace, knowing how he's going to redecorate once he gets to be king, right? Can you imagine all of the things that he was exposed to simply by playing the strings? Because the one thing that he was able to do day in and day out was to bring his harp. You see, for this season, it may not seem like it. It may not always seem like it for David, who was anointed to be king, but every day had to play the harp. May not seem like it for David, but I want you to embrace and internalize this. For this season, and I don't know how long it's going to last, but for this season, you are right where God needs you to be. Let me say that again. For this season, you are right where God needs you to be. Where you are today is no accident. God is using this situation you are in to shape you and to prepare you for the place where God wants to bring you to tomorrow. Trust him. So trust him. Trust him even though you don't understand. You got to trust. You have to bring your harp anyway. Sometimes it gets confusing, but you got to keep playing your strings. Sometimes you can't connect the dots of how you can't connect the dots between the snow cones and the sermons or the pot roast and the pastoring. Sometimes you can't always connect the dots, but you got to keep bringing your harp. Even when you can't see beyond what God is doing with your life beyond the script, you got to ask God for the strength to show up every day and to bring your harp. Because that's what David did. David's life went off script. He comes to the palace anointed to be king. And yet this is what he does. Every day, he brings his harp. So I wonder if that's the challenge and the season that some of you are in. You may not always understand it, but maybe you're just in a season to honor the experience and embrace the experience that you're in and to simply bring your harp when life goes off script. Let me pray with you. God, there might be somebody here watching today who feels as though that not only life is going off script, but they are looking to understand what you're doing through it and in it. And they're trying to connect the dots. They're trying to make sense of the chapters and they're trying to understand the transitions and they just want to know what you're doing. And yet, God, the temptation is to hold back or to check out or to disengage until we understand. But maybe the call on our lives now, God, whatever season that we're in, a season of famine, a season of plenty, a season of things going right, a season of things going wrong, is just to show up. Is just to show up with our true selves and trusting that we're still in your hands. Trusting you not only when we get to places where we understand, but trusting you in those seasons where you've called us simply just to play the harp. For this is our prayer and this is our challenge for today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.